Again, we thank our brother for the words of welcome. It's been a great time to be with you this weekend, to be able to fellowship with you, to worship with you. And I really have enjoyed my time with you, the welcome that you've given me. It has been so nice, so kind. And I really, really enjoyed that last part, the scripture verses in the different languages. What a wonderful reminder it is of the, I suppose there's no more appropriate verses to be read in the different languages, these verses which bring to us the Great Commission. What a wonderful reminder that the Great Commission is indeed for all of us, not just for some. And indeed the promise that which we are laying hold of in that verse, "Lo, I am with you always, even on to the end of the world." That is a promise for all of us. And therefore, as we consider all the different languages, may we take the promise, and may we also obey the command. And as we hear all the different languages represented, may it remind us of the many nations, the many people who remain untold. So may we be challenged, may we be encouraged, even as I have been hearing those verses today. I want you to turn with me here this afternoon to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. And we will just read just three verses. I usually would read longer portion, but say just to make sure with time and so forth. So whoever knows isn't watching the watch and where is he going to get me there in time. So we'll read verses 1, 2 and 3 of Joshua chapter 1. I do encourage you, as I will mention other verses, that you take the time in the remainder of this Lord's day to meditate upon God's word. You may not make the mistake of thinking that the Sabbath day is just the time we spend in the Lord's house, but we are to sanctify the entire Sabbath day. That's what we're commanded to do. And even I ask you to read over these verses and meditate upon the things that you hear here this afternoon. Joshua chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3, we read, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses." Amen. We do trust the Lord. We'll bless even the short reading of his word. Can we unite our hearts, please, just in a moment's prayer, before we look at these words together. Our loving God, our eternal and glorious Father, we rejoice, Lord, our time in thy presence today. O Lord, what a privilege it has been for me to be able to stand in this pulpit and testify of what thou hast done in my life. And praise the Lord, what thou art still doing. And Lord, to be able to sit with brothers and sisters. And Lord, to hear them sing. To hear them read thy word. To recite thy word, Lord, even in all these different tongues. And Lord, what a reminder it is of the day to come. And Lord, we will stand before our God in heaven. That Lord, that we will sing praise unto thee. That Lord, all nations and tongues will there be represented. And what a day that will be. And Lord, we pray that even today, thou will give us the remainder of our time, just that little taste of heaven on earth. That thou will be in our midst. And Lord, that our hearts are in tune to praise our God. And now as we come to the preaching of thy word, pray, Lord, that thy spirit would move. O Lord, fill me with thy spirit that thou may use me. Fill us all, Lord, for the receiving of thy truth. O Lord, own the preaching of thy word, we pray. We do ask these things in our lovely Saviour's name. Amen. Amen. As I stand here this afternoon, I am very close to have finished my round of deputations. Now, they began towards the end of October and will finish in just a couple of weeks. In that time, I've been around every one of our churches in Northern Ireland, plus my one visit here in London. And as I've been around all of our churches, I have been greatly encouraged by the interest that has been shown and the prayerful and practical support that has been given to us. But not only have I been encouraged, but I've been greatly challenged as I've went around church to church. Now, we are but a small denomination. Yet, as I think of the amount of people that have sat before me in Sunday meetings, midweek meetings, special missionary meetings, youth meetings. So I think of all those souls that have sat before me, Christians, children, those who profess faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. To think of all those who have sat before me and listened to me talk about the Lord's call and about missionary service and all of those things. I've been really challenged by the amazing potential that has been sitting before me over these last 6 months. I have been greatly burdened that, and it has been my prayer, that not only would these meetings be an encouragement to our people, not only would they give an insight to the work in Uganda and the work we'll be engaged in, that they may pray for us and pray for the work, but to say I have been greatly burdened to pray that the Lord, through me, the son of a farmer, just me, nothing special, as I said yesterday, nobody trying to serve somebody, but the Lord would use what I would say to call, to speak to hearts, that further workers will be raised up to go to Uganda, to go to Ghana, to go to Nigeria, to go to the Philippines, to go to Ukraine, to go to Romania, to minister and work in parts of the United Kingdom. Well, it's my prayer that the Lord will use me in some small way to encourage and challenge others to give their all and surrender to their God, that they may arise and go. Arise and go. See, this is a great burden upon my heart. You see, while I have looked down, even as I look down here and see the amazing potential that there is, the sad reality is that so much of that potential will never be used. So many will have sat on to these meetings and sat on to much better men and better preachers than me, and they will hear missionary challenge after challenge. They will be reminded of the darkness that countless souls are in right across this world. They will hear of the great need, that people need to be told of Jesus Christ. They will hear the great commission repeated over and over again, and yet they will remain in their seat. They will never arise, and they will never go. And then there is the others that, yes, one day will arise, but yet they will have squandered so many years. And like myself, maybe they realize, like, why did I wait so long? Oh, it is a burden. And it is my prayer that today, as I am here with you this weekend, this missionary weekend, and your minister must be commended for the organizing of a weekend such like this, there is no missionary vision. The church will go nowhere. We need to have a vision for the nations, a vision for our neighbors, a vision for this world, a vision in taking the message of Christ to each and every one. This is my challenge today to you to consider full-time service of the living God. Now, as I say such a thing, maybe you're saying, well, this certainly is not a message for me. You'll switch off and say, well, I'm never going to be a missionary, and therefore this is a pointless message for me. I can switch off now. I should have went home after the food. But let me say two things in response to someone who would say today, I will never be a missionary. Well, first, let me say this. Never say never. I can safely say that when I was in my younger years, particularly as I look at you young people here today, as I look at you and it feels like it was only yesterday. You may now look at me, you'll know it wasn't only yesterday, but it feels like it was only yesterday that I was your age. And if I was asked then, or told then, that one day I would be a minister, that I would be standing in a pulpit in London, telling the people there that I'm soon moving to Africa to be a missionary, I would have laughed. And I too would have said, I'll never be a missionary. So be very careful to what you say never about. Again, you must remember that testimony from earlier, how much I hated school. Do you think when I was leaving school, it'd be GCSEs that I'd be told, you know, one day you're going to be a teacher? You see, we never know what the Lord, He directs our paths. He takes us one step at a time, and you never know what the Lord may be calling you to do. So never say never. Secondly, let me say to this, to say in the response to a missionary challenge, as this message is today, to say in response to a missionary challenge, To say an outright no, no, I'll never be a missionary, no, I'll never do that. To say no to such a thing, it is not keeping with your profession as a Christian. For a Christian, regardless of their age, their academic achievement, or anything else, an attitude of saying no instead of being willing to do whatever the Lord would ask of them, it is not fitting off a Christian. A Christian should always be, here am I, send me. We should all be willing to do what the Lord would have us to do. It is so wrong to say no, to outright say no, that is not something I will do. Therefore, please do listen to what I say. Do not switch off. Do not say this is not a message for me. There's not a work that the Lord would have me to do. There's nothing that I'm going, I'll never be a missionary. I'll never give my all to the service of the Lord and seeing souls won for Him. Oh, don't say no today. But that you will have that spirit. That spirit that say of Isaiah, here am I, send me. Never as we would consider this and a challenge to full-time service, to missionary service, or to whatever words we want to use for it. I want us to focus really on verse 2 of Joshua chapter 1 here today. We read there, Moses, my servant of God. This is the Lord speaking. This is the Lord speaking to Joshua. He says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan. Thou and all this people unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. The command that God gives to Moses here is, arise, 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 go over this Jordan. Arise and go. Arise and go. You know, we pray that the Lord will fill our seats in our churches. And it's wonderful to see so many in our seats. In the seats here today, you know, it's probably a while ago, I remember preaching in Kurigari in my own church. And I said, yes, we are to be praying for the seats to be filled in our churches. But also we are to be praying for our seats to be emptied. By that I'm saying we're to be praying that the Lord will raise up people within our churches that will be willing to leave their seats, to arise and to go into the service of the Lord. Wherever He may lead them, they will go. That they will obey the Great Commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Well, I believe that, yes, your minister is so greatly encouraged by those of you coming in. And yes, indeed, he would be sad to lose you. But how delighted he would be if you were to come to him and say, the Lord has called me to arise and go in the service of him. Oh, may we all be willing to arise and go as God would call Joshua here to arise and go. And I want us to consider just that very simple phrase, arise and go. I want us to consider that together today. And the first thing I want you to note with me is the need to arise and go. The need to arise and go. Look again at verses 1 and 2. We read, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Now these two verses present the need of the hour. Up until this point, Moses had led the children of Israel. He had led them from Egypt. We mentioned Moses earlier and how he was called to be that deliverer. Well, he has went at the call of God. He has went to Egypt. He's delivered them from Egypt. He's taken them out of that land. And now they are stone's throw from the River Jordan and then onto the promised land. But there's a problem. Moses, the servant of God, was now dead. Without someone else to lead the people, they were going to be left stranded on the wrong side of the River Jordan and outside the land of promise. The need of the hour was that someone else would now take up the work that they would lead the people across into home. In verse 2, God's call comes to Joshua to be the man to meet that need. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan. The Lord points clearly to the need that has arisen out of the death of Moses and calls on Joshua to step up. To step up and to fill that need. The need of the hour was clear to be seen. There was a need, and Joshua was the one that must come and meet that need at the call of God. Well, there is a need. And as we would see the parallel for our day and age, we see there is still a great need for men and women to arise and go. In fact, there's always been a need for laborers. And we come to the day and we see the worst world, the vast world, and we think we're living in a day of great need for men to arise and go. But that has always been the case. There has always been this great need. For consider the words of Christ in Luke 10 verse 2. The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Oh, the need for laborers has always been very real. As I title this opening point, it is the need. It is the need. There is a great need today. The need to arise and go. I wonder if you ever considered your place and the great need to arise and go. And the great need of this day and age that we live in. The great need of souls who are perishing without a Savior. Oh yes, you know these words of the Lord Jesus Christ about laborers being few and the harvest being plenteous and the laborers being few. But if you ever actually put them into the context of the here and now, you ever put them into the context of, let's narrow it down. Narrow it down to laborers within our own denomination. Within our own denomination, the need for missionaries. Now, I know maybe you don't get many missionary deputations, and maybe it's a bigger struggle for our brother to try and to keep before you the missionaries that we have under our denomination. But let me very quickly do a little bit of maths with you concerning our missionaries and within the Free Presbyterian Church. Over the last 10 years or so, my counting is right. 9 have left the mission field and only 2 have went. Now, I'm not casting on judgment on those who have come home. Some have served faithfully for many years and they've come to that stage in their life, they're retired. Others have been called to other works and have come home. Others have simply, say, felt that call to leave the work and come. I'm not, say, judging, saying some are better than others. But the simple mathematical fact is that within the last 10 years, there's a loss on the mission field of 7. Great need. There's a great need, surely, to replace those missionaries. Not only is there a need to replace those seven, if you want to take it as that, but consider the many, many mission stations which are already undermanned. As I go to Uganda, in many of my midweek meetings that I've been doing, one of my main prayer requests is that more workers will be sent, because I see clearly that there's so much need in Uganda. There's so much need just even in that local area, within the church, within the community. We need more workers. So if we take the shortfall that there is, if we consider the great need that there is on our mission stations, and then we begin to look out even further and look to those works that have yet to be started. Our brother speaks about his desire to see so many of these countries with workers and laborers. What is clear, there's a great need for men to arise and go at the call of God. The need in Joshua's day was of course brought about by the death of Moses. The need was presented that Joshua must therefore arise and go. And may we see today that there is no less need. Joshua would replace Moses. But who's going to replace the empty places on the mission field that I have mentioned? Who's going to go to those places who have yet to be reached with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Who's going to arise and go? Who's going to go? Who will meet the need? Oh, it's very easy to say, well, that verse which you've quoted about the harvest being planted and the laborers are few, the Lord says pray, and therefore that's what we'll do. We'll pray. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not dismissing that. The Lord Jesus Christ clearly commands us to pray. But we must be very careful that we do not use prayer as an excuse to sit at home. You see, consider those same very men who he said to pray to. These men that he commanded to pray, that they send forth laborers, those very same men in the next few verses, they were the very men who were sent out with the gospel. See, those who are praying are also be those who are going. Never let us not use, if I go, I'm staying at home and I'll pray about it and I'll give. And I'm not dismissing that. That's a big part of what my meetings are about that I've been doing over these last 6 months. It is to have you to pray for me. To pray for us. And indeed, I don't speak about it, but a brother has, about the financial support. And while I don't speak about it, it is a reality. That money keeps us on the mission field. Your support keeps us there. I'm not dismissing those things, and we're so thankful for those things, and it's scriptural. May we not use them as an excuse to fail to arise and go. Oh, we can make the excuse, but we must see the need is for those actually to arise and go. You see, consider Joshua here before us. Again, I'm saying with all due respect, Joshua here in these verses, he wasn't given an opportunity to send others. The Lord didn't come to Joshua and say, well, Joshua, you know, who do you think should go? Joshua, go and choose someone to go and lead these people. Joshua wasn't given an option to send others or to pray for someone else to go. But God says to him personally, now therefore arise, go over this Jordan. The need was more than to pray and to give. The need was for him to personally arise and go. But maybe today you think, that can't be me. Let me focus on the young people here today. You say to yourself, oh, I'm too young. I'm too young to be, not even that I'm too young to be going, but I'm too young to be thinking about something like that. I want you to reconsider that and see that as a cruelly false and wrong notion to have. I want you to see that the need of the hour is not just for men and women, but for young men and women like yourself. The mission field needs young men and women. It has always been the need. As that great missionary statement is often made, it is only this generation that can reach this generation. It reminds me of a heartbreaking story that I heard. A foreign con, I don't even remember what land it was. This woman in a foreign land, and she was reached with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The missionary sat down beside her. Counselor told her of the Lord Jesus Christ, how he came into this world to save sinners, and that no works was necessary, that Christ had done it all upon the cross of Calvary, and all that was left for her to do was to repent and believe. That woman received Christ as her Savior. With tears running down her face, she said, yes, this is wonderful news. But why did it take you so long to come and tell us? I and all the women in our village, we have sacrificed all our firstborn babies to please the gods. If only you had come and told us sooner, our babies would still be alive. Now that's just one example of the reality that the great need is the need of the here and now. It's not something that we put off to later. Something that we can put off to our older. No, it needs to be done now. This generation of people can only be reached by this generation of Christians. You know, the need of the hour is for young men and young women and older men and older women. And this is for all of us. In the present, in the here and now, to put it off no longer and say, here am I, Lord, send me. Lord, if you will use me, here am I. Here's my life. Take it and use it as you will see fit. And again, let me emphasize young people. Mutual Feed needs young people. It's always been the way. It's a modern concept, a modern notion that you leave it to later in life to be a missionary, to be a servant of God. Think of some of the great missionary heroes of the past. Hudson Taylor. He knew the definite call of God to China by the age of 17. By the age of 24, C.T. Studd had already given up his fame and fortune to be a missionary. Amy Carmichael, by the age of 25, had already trained and offered herself to serve the Lord in China, later going on and spend the rest of her life in India. By the age of 28, Jim Elliot had already died as a martyr, giving his life in missionary service to God. I could go on and on. Mission field is a place for young people. As I say, I'm feeling my age. It's nice when people call me young, but it needs younger men than me. But that let me stand here as an example that he doesn't only use the younger men. Praise the Lord, he doesn't. There's a work for all of us to do if we are willing to do it for him. Joshua 1 verse 2 tells us, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise. The death of Moses was the presentation of the need. The need to arise and go. See, let me secondly this afternoon, the difficulties. The difficulties for those who will arise and go. You see, I want to be very real with you this afternoon. You talk about missionary service and all these things. And I talked about it, I suppose, in my deputation video. I think the word I used is romantic. We can have a romantic view of the mission field. And you can think of those great missionaries and those men that I've mentioned and go, wow, to be like one of those. And but there's a realistic, you have to be real about it. Believe me, I know. As I'm preparing to go to Uganda, I'm aware of many of the challenges and troubles that lie ahead. Indeed, there'll be even more that I'm not ready for. But you see, the fact that says there's difficulties. There's difficulties that have to be faced. But you see, the point I'm wanting to get you is this. The difficulties for those, even though there is difficulties in arising and going, even though it may mean a lot for you to, it may change and complete your life completely to be willing to arise and go. But what I'm trying to say is those difficulties do not negate the need. The difficulties do not negate the need. Well, there may be difficulties. There may be challenges. But that doesn't mean we don't go. You see, here as we look at Joshua 1 verse 2, God, when he called upon Joshua to arise and go, from the very moment, God did not hide from Joshua the fact that there was going to be difficulties right in front of him. See, look at this. Listen to those words again. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan. Over this Jordan. You know, he says it just, okay, go over that Jordan. But that was not some easy thing to do. Here before the Joshua, this one call of God, is straight away, he's faced with the fact that what lies before them is this river. This river that is massive. This river at this time of the year that has burst its banks. This river that is flooded and impassable in human eyes. God is calling on Joshua to embrace it. Embrace the difficulties. Arise and go. Embrace this river that is before you. Arise and go in the service of God, regardless of what difficulties lie ahead. Not only that, as the verse goes on, not only does he say, arise, go over this Jordan, but he says, thou and all this people. Oh, maybe he could have fashioned some way of getting across the river on his own, but that wasn't what he's called to do. He's called to cross this dangerous river, and he's called to do it with over 2 million people. No small thing, difficulty that lay ahead. Oh, the fact that difficulty lay ahead was not an excuse, was not a reason for Joshua to say, no, I can't. But God making clear that he knew there was difficulties, making those difficulties clear to Joshua, the command was for him to arise and go. Or let us use a different word. Let us not use the word difficulty, but let us use the word sacrifice. Sacrifice. There will be sacrifices if you would be willing to arise and go. I know of those sacrifices. I spoke of them yesterday. I spoke of the thought of leaving parents and grandparents and all those things and leaving the things that we have at home. And there is sacrifices. But let us always view those sacrifices in light of what Christ has done for us. Again, imagine that missionary C.T. Studd. I'm sure you know his wonderful words. If Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him. Well, think of Christ. Oh, yes, there's difficulty. Yes, there's challenges. But the reason we arise and go, what should inspire us above all things to arise and go, is what Christ has done for us. Dare we call anything that we must give up a sacrifice? When we consider what Christ did for us. Well, today I'm looking at this opening verse of Joshua chapter 1. There is the need to arise and go. There is a difficulty for those who will arise and go. But very quickly, let me finish. And let me encourage you that there is help given to those who will arise and go. There is help given to those who will arise and go. We'll not take the time to read them all, but verses really 3 to verse 5, we see that not only is Joshua commanded to go, but he's given great encouragement to do so. And if you remember back, if you were here yesterday afternoon, before we went to our PowerPoint presentation, I read those words at the conclusion of Matthew 28. And we saw that not only do we have the command, but after he gives the command, God, or Christ gives the encouragement to do it. And that's exactly, we have a parallel here in Joshua chapter 1. The command was arise and go, and immediately after that, from that verse 2 on to the end of verse 5, it's encouragement after encouragement. Verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you as I said unto Moses. Encouragements. Christ's help. The Lord will be with you. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Oh yes, there's troubles. Yes, there'll be difficulties. Yes, there'll be challenges. Yes, it may mean a completely different life for you. But have you heard the Lord call you to arise and go? Arise and go. Have you heard the call, but you've made excuses? Too young. Too busy. Family, work, finances, I don't know, whatever the excuse may be. Oh yes, there's challenges. Is there any greater thing than to serve the God who has saved us by his grace? Oh, when we consider what Christ has done for us, and the fact that not only has he saved us, but that he will be with us always, why would we delay anymore? Why would we wait? Well, let us all arise and go. If you're here today and know not Christ as your Lord and Savior, consider again what these meetings have been about this weekend. It has been about what the Lord has done. You could say, if I want to make it, I don't want it to be about me, but you could say, this weekend has been about me in many ways. You could say, this weekend is because I am going to Uganda. And that's the reality, but this weekend is about where Christ would have me go. Why God is calling me to go, it is to share that message of Jesus Christ. That he came into this world, he died upon a cross, he bore the sins of wretched sinners such as us to set us free from condemnation, to save us, and that we may have a new birth, that we would rise with him. Therefore, if you're here today unsaved, that's the message that you need to hear. That's why we meet here today. That is why we meet. There's a gospel message. If there was no gospel, there would be pointless meeting in a place like this. But we meet in a place like this because there is a gospel message. There is a message that we are sinners, but there is a Savior. Oh dear, unsaved one, put your trust in Christ. Sacrifice your life to him. Maybe, just maybe, even as he would save you today, but very soon he would have you to go. Oh, may we all, when we're all here today, let us prayerfully, let us solemnly, saying, Lord, what will you have me to do? May we all be willing to arise and go. May the Lord take his word. May he bless it to each and every one of our hearts today.